Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. You guys can hear me okay? Yeah. Well, good to see everybody. Everybody's excited to be here this morning? Amen. As Chris talked about, an extra 1 hour of night sleep should excite each and every person. You know, that alone. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes, though, when you know you're going to get an extra hour of sleep like myself, you push yourself up as late as possible because what you don't want to see happen is you go to bed early and all of a sudden you wake up early. So I wasn't pushing myself, and I was like, okay, it's 11:30, really it's 10:30, and I was like, you know what, so be it. It's 10:30, I'm tired, I'm going to bed, I want to get some extra sleep, and so, you know, hey, I was able to get some extra sleep last night. Hopefully, whether you're well rested, I do hope that you are excited to be here this morning. To visit with us, great to have you with us here this morning. I want to continue with some Bible trivia. I'm going to ask you a few different questions. Maybe you know the answer, but again, I asked a couple questions a few weeks ago, and of course, you may have gathered that you need to think similar to Steve and Sean if you're going to really be able to answer the question. Of course, you know, Michelle answered one of the questions the last time, because of course she's married to Steve, and husbands and wives rub off each other, and they kind of figure out each other's sense of humor. But here's the first one. What kind of man was Boaz before he got married? See, I told you he'd get it. See, you know, there he goes. He's probably, so he may get all of them, but he did not put these together. Just someone who he may know. Okay, that's very good. Yes. Okay, what do they call pastors in Germany? Number two, German shepherds. Of course, Steve's going to get it. He's probably going to get them all. You know, why did the unemployed man get excited while looking through the Bible? Exactly. There you go. Okay, there you go. At the back. Because he saw a job. Job, he saw a job. So, of course, if someone's reading there, they go, job? You know, why was Solomon the wisest man in the world? Well, this one here, Steve's probably not going to get it. Because he had so many wives to advise him. And how long did Cain hate his brother? As long as he was able. That's correct. Right at the back there. There you go. As long as he was able. And how do we know Abraham was smart? Because he knew a lot. And we know a lot is his nephew, so he knew someone named Lot. Well, let's pray pretty soon for our time together. You know, Abraham, as we continue, we're going to look at Abraham here this morning. Abraham was, we're not going to talk about how smart he was or not, but we're going to look at how he was a man of faith. And of course, we've been talking about faith, and we've been looking at the heroes of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, but how could you not look at Abraham when you talk about faith? That's what we're going to look at Abraham here today. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You know, here we see Abraham is used as an example of faith. Used as an example of, you know, if you want to know what faith and deeds look like, look at the life of Abraham. It also that he was called God's friend. You know, that should be each and every disciple's goal. is that if someone wants to know what faith and deeds look like, that they should be able to look at our lives and say, you know what? I know what faith and deeds look like by looking at the life of a disciple. You know, faith and deeds go hand in hand. You know, believing is not enough. Just simply doing the right thing and deeds are not enough. But our faith must be the motivating factor in our lives. You know, there was a quote that says, when no one holds us accountable for sharing our faith, for praying, for reading our Bible, for sacrificing, and we stop doing it, it can be the results of a work-oriented Christianity. You know, because it's one of those things where faith should be what motivates us. It shouldn't be where, you know, I'm the one who comes up and motivates them. If I don't tell you what to do, you're not going to do it. It shouldn't be where people are the ones who, I'm going to hold them accountable, because if they don't, they're not going to do it. What should be our primary motivator should be our faith. Why do we do the things we do? It's simply because of our personal faith in God. And we see that, and we will see that, when we examine the very life of Abraham. And so we're going to turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, but as we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we're able to gather here this Sunday morning. And Father, thank you so much for each and every person, Father, that made it here today. And Father, I pray that as we study your word here this morning, that Father, your word would penetrate each and every one of our hearts. That Father, as we open up your word, that Father, your word would speak to our own personal needs. So that Father, we can be men and women who live our lives by faith. Father, it's so easy to be drawn to the things of this world. Father, so easy to be motivated by so many different things around us. But Father, I pray as we study your servant Abraham, that Father, we can be inspired and challenged by his life. And that Father, we would live lives that are motivated by our faith, motivated by our love for you. And that Father, so that Father, we can serve you in a powerful way. And God, bring much glory to you. Father, thank you so much again that we could be here this morning. I pray your spirit can work through me. And Father, I pray that you open all of our hearts to hear what you want us to hear this morning. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And of course, we've talked about Noah. And here we're going to continue, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about Abraham here this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll jump down to verse 8. So by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. But he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died, but did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. I want to continue reading. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is to Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac from death. Now, we see several different things here about the very faith of Abraham. You know, you think about the verses in Hebrews chapter 11. There are more verses attributed to Abraham than anyone else. That he stood out among the heroes of faith simply because of his faith. You know, what lessons can we learn from Abraham here this morning? The one, Abraham had an obedient faith. You know, it said that by faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. You know, it said that he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You know, there itself right there is obedience. That God called Abraham to go, and Abraham went. You know, you think about Abraham, around 75 years old, being called to go, and yet he obeyed and he went. To leave what was familiar to him, to leave what was secure, to leave what was prosperous, and to simply trust God. And he did not know where he was going. And his response was, you know what, he trusted God, he obeyed and went, and he was eager to do what God expected of him. You know, you think about at 75 years old, you know, he was obedient and willing to do what God asked him to do. You know, what's important for us this morning is that we embrace the call to faith. That for each and every one of us to have an obedient faith, where we trust God, because God expects different things of us. God wants to take us different places in our lives. What's important is that we have an obedient faith to whatever it is that God is calling us to. Abraham refused to put limits on his obedience to God. But it's important that we embrace obedience. We embrace what is uncomfortable. We embrace and we step out of our comfort zone. And we do whatever God calls us to. We must embrace the call of faith. What's important is that we must refuse to make exceptions to God's expectations. You know, it's very easy for us to make exceptions to God's expectations. You know, God himself made no exceptions for Abraham. Abraham was blameless. He was fruitful. He entered a covenant with God. God expected him, as we see later on, to sacrifice his son, his one and only son. And he faithfully obeyed. Because Abraham made no exceptions to God's expectations. You know, you think about if you're a disciple of Jesus this morning, you know, we all know there are expectations of us. When we read the scriptures, we know, you know, we are to put God first in our lives. We know that we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. We are to serve people. We are to serve the church. We are to help people to know God. We are to live a holy and pure life. We are to be open about sin and surround ourselves with relationships who are going to help us to remain pure and holy. But at times, it's very easy to have exceptions to God's expectations. We could say, you know what? Yes, I know God expects me to put him first. But life is busy with school, life is busy with work, life is busy with family, so I can't put God first as I would like to. That's when we make exceptions to God's expectations. Well, we know that God expects each and every one of us as disciples to be pure and holy as disciples. So I remember a single brother at one point, he's no longer with us, sharing with saying, you know what? But I cannot be pure because I'm a single brother. And you don't know what it means to be a single, to live as a single brother. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I was a single brother at one time. But again, we can make exceptions to God's expectations. Well, the same thing we know, okay, yes, I know that God wants me to be involved in helping the lost to be able to find Jesus. But you know what? I'm married. I got 10 kids. I can't be involved in helping someone be involved in Bible studies and helping someone become a Christian. There again, we make exceptions to God's expectations. You know, I heard a story about this 82-year-old grandmother. And she was just looking for ways to continue to serve God. You know, I'm not sure how I'm going to be at 82. I just really hope that, hey, at 82, I can walk, I can see. You know, I'm hoping for 82, I can be able to do those things. And be alive. I've got to include that as well. But this retired 82-year-old woman wanted to still use her faith to serve God. And she was just thinking of different ways to be involved in the church, be involved in the community. And when all was said and done, she decided she wanted to help build the church and be involved in helping out in the campus ministry. And so this 82-year-old woman spent time walking on the campus ministry with others, with students who were 20 years old. And here she is at 82 years old, walking on campus, sharing her faith because she believed that, hey, as long as she has breath, she still needed to do what God expected of her. And you know what? She continued until she had passed. But she was involved in the campus. She was involved in one way or another because she still believed that at the age of 82, God still had expectations of her. And God has expectations of all of us in all stages of life. Whether we're young, whether we're old, God still has expectations of each and every one of us as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this woman believed that, you know what, 82 years old, that God was not done with her yet. And she was not willing to just kind of ride out into the sunset. She was going to use everything that she had to be able to serve God. Because she believed that God still had expectations of her as long as she was still on this earth. You know, this morning I want to ask you, where is your faith here this morning? Is there anything, any area of your life where you believe that you're making exceptions to what God expects of you? You know, we must, as disciples, embrace the call of faith. We must refuse to make exceptions. And we must live like Abraham and have a faith to obey God and not make exceptions to God expectations. You know, that older lady could have said, you know what, I'm old. She could have made many excuses. I'm old. I don't know if she was fully healthy. Maybe she was walking with a cane on campus. She could have made so many exceptions and said, you know what, maybe for everyone else who's younger, but not for me. We've got to make sure we don't make exceptions to what God expects of us. Amen? Also, number two, Abraham considered God faithful. You know, in verse 5 it says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, wasn't able to bear a child because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. You know, you think about faithful. You know, true to one's word. Promises, vows, reliable, trustworthy. God is faithful. At 99, God promised Abraham he would have a son when he turned 100 years old. And you know what? They did. But it says that Abraham considered him faithful, who had made the promise. You know, for us in our lives, at times we could face disappointments. At times we could be hurt when people don't keep their promises to us. You know, you ever have someone break a promise? And of course, maybe you're disappointed when they break a promise, or they break a trust, or they're not reliable. You know, we have that with relationships. You know, with God, at times we can get angry in our hearts and be disappointed with God when something does not go our way. But you know the difference is at times God? Sometimes we get angry with God because we expected something from God and we were disappointed by God. But we fail to realize that that was not something God promised us. And so based on something that we personally expected, something that God did not promise, we can get disappointed and believe God is not faithful, as opposed to God is faithful to his promises. But at times we want our wants to be what God promises us. And we think about how some of the things that God has not promised us. God has not promised us to have perfect health. God has not promised us financial security. God has not promised us a spouse. God has not promised us a perfect marriage. God has not promised us perfect kids. And God has not promised us perfect parents. You know, sometimes you gotta kind of gauge that because, you know, sometimes you say, God has not promised us the perfect kids. And the parents are like, well, amen. But then you look at some of the kids' faces, they're like, yeah, but God has not promised the perfect parents. You know, God has not promised any perfect brother or sister. God has not promised any perfect person in our family. You're a student, God has not promised that, hey, you know what? You study for all your exams? God has not promised that you're going to pass your exams. And God has not promised that you're going to live a worry-free, trial-free life. God didn't promise us those different things. Some of us are going, well then what? Well, you think about it, well, God has promised us many things in the Scriptures. And I would encourage you to study your Bible, look at all the different promises of God in the Scripture, and see where it lines up with what you expect of God. But God never promised us heaven on earth. God never promised us heaven on earth. But you know what? What happens when we believe God has made a promise and we are disappointed? You know what happens? We believe, you know what? I asked God for this, or this happened in my life, you know what? So God is not faithful. If God was faithful, then you know what? These things wouldn't have happened in my life. And then what happens when we think God is not faithful? We believe, or we might hold back our heart. We might hold back our time. We might hold back our money. We might try to overcompensate because we don't believe God is trustworthy. So you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. But we need to see that God is faithful. That he is true to his word. And he is true to his promises. And he is trustworthy. You know, God does promise. We read the scriptures, hey, you know what? That if we seek him, we'll find him. When we seek him with all of our hearts. Somebody's going, well, it says that God says I'll find him if I seek him? Yes. But if we seek him with all of our hearts, it says we'll be found by the Lord. But God does promise that he'll be with us. You know, God, as I mentioned, doesn't promise a trial-free life. But he does promise that, hey, you know what? Whatever trials we go through, that he will be there for us. Because he's trustworthy. He's not going to abandon us in times of difficulty when things are difficult. That God is trustworthy and he promises to be with us. Now that is something that whenever we face trials in our life, we need to take that to the bank. Because God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. And also we see here that Abraham, not only did he consider God faithful, he considered God faithful despite the facts. You know, in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, you know, we'll look at that very quickly. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the facts that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. You know, Abraham faced some facts in his life. His body is good as dead. He was old. Sarah passed the age of childbearing. Yet he did not waver in his faith. By human reasoning, impossible. By human power, impossible. By human effort, not possible. But he understood with God that all things are possible. And he considered these different facts. But he approached it with faith in a powerful God. He believed in who God was, and he believed in what God was able to do. You know, we all have different facts in our life. But it's important that whatever facts in our life, whatever things we face, that we face them with faith. You know, we try at times to avoid facts, analyze facts, be critical of facts, be disappointed by facts, believe the facts will get worse. Abraham, he faced the facts because he faced the facts with God. You know, whatever facts there are about your life, whatever your situation is this morning, my challenge is to approach them with faith. To trust that, you know, God has a plan. To put your trust and faith in a trustworthy, faithful God. Regardless of whatever facts there are around you. Abraham believed God was faithful to his promise, even despite unfavorable circumstances. And last but not least, Abraham reasoned that God could raise Isaac from the dead. You know, Abraham received the promise that, you know what? They're going to have a son. And that through him, all nations will be blessed. And you know what? They had Isaac. And God called him to sacrifice his one and only son. You know, he could have made exceptions like I talked about and say, you know what? God, it's my only son. So how am I going to be blessed? Maybe I should just hold on to him and not do this. But you know what? He still decided to sacrifice his son. The only way for Abraham to reconcile what was being asked of him was to believe that, you know what? If I sacrifice my son Isaac on the altar, then you know what? Then therefore, God must be able to raise the dead. He had never seen it before. But he reasoned that somehow God is going to work. And God has a plan and God's going to do something. But yet God had a very different plan. But the fact still remains that although the plan was different, Abraham still believed, having not seen or heard of someone being raised from the dead, that Abraham still believed that God can raise the dead. That is the kind of faith that each and every one of us need to stretch ourselves to have. You know, you think about Abraham, never heard, never seen of someone being raised from the dead. You know, many years later, of course, we are able to hear about Jesus being raised from the dead. And therefore, if we believe in our hearts that God can raise Jesus from the dead, and same thing Abraham, Abraham believed God can raise son from the dead. You know, we must believe that God can do some amazing things in our own hearts. If God can raise the dead, if we really believe that God can raise the dead, we can believe that whatever it is we're going through in our life, that God can change us and God can help us through it. We can also believe if God can raise the dead, God can change people's hearts. If we believe that God raised from the dead, we can believe, hey, you know what? God can change our marriage. He can change our family situation. Why? Because God raised the dead. And if God can raise the dead, there's no limits to what God can do in our lives. God can inject life into our own faith, into the church, into our family group, into our lives and the community, that God can do amazing things. But God wants for men and women, disciples of Jesus, to be men and women who believe in what He can do. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham had an obedient faith. My challenge for us is, you know, whatever God calls us to, let's have an obedient faith. Let's not make exceptions to what God expects of us. But like Abraham, let's just obey and be eager to do whatever God calls us to do. And Abraham considered God faithful. Let us remember that, you know, we worship a faithful, trustworthy, reliable God. Let's believe that God is faithful. And Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And let's believe that God can raise the dead and allow God to do amazing things in our lives individually and also in our lives collectively. Amen. Have a great week.